to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2 is where we're at. I trust that you're enjoying going through Ruth. I am. Lots of things to learn from Ruth. Ruth herself, Naomi, Boaz. On Sunday mornings, we're looking at lessons that we can learn from these individuals and how to strive together. And then today will be the afternoon, but in their Sunday evenings, we're looking at how God is dealing now over and on top of us in His dealings with us as people. So we're looking at that. I would encourage you to join us again this afternoon at 1:30 as we do look at God's perspective. As you're turning there, Ruth chapter 2, as you get there, let me ask you a question. How important is communication in our world? How important? Very important. I want you to try to imagine, it will almost be impossible, to try to imagine what life would be like without communicating. You say, Pastor, it is a big essence of what life is. It might not be 100%, but communication is so important. It's so used. It's so necessary. Even within our own bodies, different parts communicating back and forth with one another, your brain telling your muscles what to do, and then your nerves sending those impulses back to the brain and then executing that through your muscles and your muscles and bones and arms and legs and all those things. Communication is so important, but I'm not so much talking about that physical element within our bodies this morning, but what about communication one with another? Communication in our world. Can you imagine what one day would be like without verbal communication? Can you imagine if the world stopped in all communication verbally? Well, today, of course, we have our technology, which we can, without the spoken word, we can do this, right? Well, I've seen some people, thumbs go 100 miles an hour. They're pretty amazing. Those thumbs that they use nowadays, of course, all they have to do is hit a button and talk into it. And that can be a good thing. It can be a dangerous thing as well. I've caught myself sending some messages with some interesting things there, trying to catch it before it actually goes through. Like, oh no, I can't believe I just about sent that. But we need to be careful. But can you imagine just the spoken verbal communication ending? And what would it sound like throughout a day? What if you were able to end all communication, even this kind of communication, or this kind of communication, or sending an email or whatever? What if all communication stopped? And of course, that's not the only kind of communication. Then there's the nonverbal communication, you know, these kind of things, you know, facial expressions and all. What if all communication would end? Communication is a very important element to our lives. We're always communicating. Right now, I'm communicating to you, and whether you like it or not, you're communicating to me. I see from the crowd if people are dull, if they're tired, if they're interested, if they want to learn, if they have no interest. I can see that because we communicate through what we do. Sometimes it's the truth, sometimes it's maybe not so much the truth. And some of you come up to me afterwards and say, Pastor, I'm so sorry that I fell asleep during the service. And I say, you just communicated some information to me that I didn't even know. So communication happens all the time, but it's so important to us. Now let me change. I want to stick with communication, but then I ask you this question with communication just right here and very practical. What is your communication with the people that's right here? We have probably about 85 people here this morning. 85 people. How well do you communicate with them? Through the week, but I want to ask you the question, what's your communication with people even this morning? Some of you came to Sunday school and you got here a little bit early and you began to communicate probably as soon as you came through the doors, or maybe even before you came through the doors. You began to talk to people, and maybe you commented upon the weather. Maybe you talked about the ride here and the accident that you nearly came to, or maybe you got in and you commented upon the coolness or the hot or the warmness of the church, or maybe something caught your eye. Whatever it was, you began to communicate, and for most of us, we've been communicating since we've been here. I'm just trying to get you to think about communication. All right, so what was your communication this morning when you got here? You know, most of us have probably said a few words anyway. There might be a person that has not said a word yet since they've been here, but for the most part, we've all communicated in some way. But the verbal communication, what have you talked about so far? What will you talk about, you know, when we say amen and I dismiss you and you go out, you turn and your neighbor's there and you talk to your neighbor. What are the things typical? Maybe we can move into that. What's typically what you talk about at church? You know, there are certain people that I know and they're going to maybe tell me about their week. There are certain people that are going to tell me about their health. There are certain people that are going to tell me about maybe their ministry, what they did this week. There are certain people going to tell me about maybe their children and some things, what's going on in their family. There are going to be some people that might talk to me about certain, you know, we have our things. But my question to you is, what is typical in your communication with people here at church? And we're not going to set rules this morning on what we must, because there's a lot of things in Scripture of what we ought to do and how we ought to treat God's temple and His house in which we come to. And there are certain things that are very appropriate to talk about, and there are also things that would not be very appropriate to talk about here, again, in this physical building that we have, which is really not the church, but amongst God's people. What is the communication in which we do? Now, we're going through the series of Striving Together, and what I would like this morning is for this to encourage you to have proper communication. Is communication important? Yes, it is. Is it going to make an impact on somebody else? Yes, it is. Ought we to have the right communication? Yes, and I want us to have the right communication because I'll tell you that it is for the sake of the gospel. It's to help us to strive together so that we can be effective when we go out. If our communication is not right inside, our communication, our lifestyle will not be proper on the outside. So you're in Ruth chapter 2, and I want you to go to the end of the chapter where we're just about done. Now let me set you back in tune with what's going on. I'll try to be quick so that we can get to new material. What's gone on in Ruth? Well, Ruth has come 50 miles away to a place that was not her home. It was not her people. But through some experiences and circumstances within God's people in Israel. Now, some of you, again, geographically can go back and you can picture Israel there. And you can picture where Ruth's family now came from. And her father-in-law, Elimelech, of course, was married to Naomi. And they were raising a family, and they had two sons. And with their two sons, they were living and raising them up. And there was a lot of problems going on in Israel, and they weren't serving the Lord like they ought to. Jehovah was their God. And they wanted to keep attached to Jehovah, but they so easily had another foot or attachment to some other connections in their lives. And that was typical right now in this time of Ruth. Remember, Ruth is going through the time of the judges. The time of the judges, which was a time in which every man did right in his own eyes. And so he saw things on this level, not on that level, but on this level. And he, you know, in some cases might have made some decent choices, but in many cases made some bad choices because of what they wanted or felt inside. And so right now with God's people, there's a difficult time going on. And there's a lot of punishment going on as well. And one of the ways in which God punished was through famine. And there's a famine in this area right now in Israel, especially in the area of Judah. And Elimelech and his family come from a place called Bethlehem, Judah, and just south of Jerusalem. And so there's famine. And Elimelech, instead of just bearing under and saying, God, we're going to trust you. Jehovah, we're going to trust you to meet our needs. By the way, would God have met all their needs if they would have stayed there? He would have. But you see, they panicked and they went to a place. It was a dangerous place because God was not present. When I say that, it doesn't mean we know that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. When I say that, they went to a place where God was not acknowledged. And so they go to Moab. And I could go back into the history of where Moab came from, certainly a group of people that were against God's people, Israel. So they went to this pagan place, and they were there for a number of years, at least 10 years they were there. because their sons, it says, married daughters of Moab, and they lived their lives there for 10 years before those sons died. Before that, though, Elimelech, he passed away, and so he dies, and the ladies are left, the sons die, and now Naomi is left with her two daughters-in-law, and they're there for a while, and finally Naomi decides to return back to her people. And for part of the way, Naomi and Orpah go back with her, and at a given time, Naomi turns around and says, listen, you don't need to go back with me. Why don't you go ahead and take advantage of your life? Go back and find somebody to marry, because I'm not going to be able to do that. There's no hope for you back in Bethlehem, Judah. Go back to Moab. Find your place. Go back with your families. Go back with your friends. Go back to your customs. Go back to your culture. Go back to your possibility of getting married and save your life. I will go back and basically die in Bethlehem, Judah. But, well, Orpah goes back. Ruth says, no, you are my people now. Your God is my God now. Your customs and cultures are mine now. I am with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And so she makes this commitment, and they go back. Naomi is kind of mourning all that what God has done to her, which I say God is doing for her. Which we're looking at Sunday nights. God is doing a beautiful picture. But we find themselves back. Next chapter, chapter 2, Naomi and Ruth wake up. I say the next day, but in this next chapter, we find themselves now in life back in this area, in Israel. And what's going to be necessary? We have no husbands left. We have no father left. And so something has to happen. We've got to find some provisions. We've got to find food. We've got to find protection. We've got to find the provisions of life. And so Ruth, of her own accord, goes to Naomi and says, Naomi, listen, can I go out? Or let me go. Let me give myself to go out. What a tremendous lesson that we have learned. Let me go out and be a blessing. And so she does. And she goes by the way, and she happens to find a place in a field that is going to be a good place for her. Well, the truth is she didn't happen to find a place. God led her to the right place. And we're studying on Sunday nights how God leads us and He is in control. But she finds herself in Boaz's field, and we know from the last couple weeks that God takes care of her through Boaz and through this field and through those workers and provisions above and beyond that we have seen. So Ruth has been given so much. Ruth and Naomi have been blessed. In fact, the scriptures teach us that Boaz said, listen, don't go anywhere else. I will protect you. I'll provide for you. You come and glean in my field. He tells his workers to make sure and give more in the gleaning. And we're going to talk a little bit more about gleaning this afternoon and God's provisions for the poor. But anyway, he takes total care of Ruth, and in it, Naomi as well. And so Ruth is blessed. He invites her to a meal. He gives her more than what she can handle and to let her take the provisions home, back to Naomi. And so at the end of the day, this is where we begin this morning. At the end of the day, Ruth is carrying back a lot of food for the next several days or weeks that's going to take care of her and Naomi. And here's where we come into the passage in which I want you to see. So normal, difficult circumstances. God is working behind the scenes, though, to help these people. But I want us to see this morning on how these two strove together for the sake of the gospel. So let's look at Ruth chapter 2, verses 18. We're going to start in verse 18, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. All right, so remember, she gleaned and she got everything. And you see at the end of verse 17, it was about an ephah of barley, okay? 30 pounds of barley that she was able to take home several days worth of food. All right, verse 18. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gathered. And she brought forth and gave it to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Okay, so the leftover food from the meal that she had, she gave her that. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And that's the end of the chapter. All right, now I want you to think, what was the atmosphere of communication with Ruth and Naomi when they just are getting back to Bethlehem, Judah? What picture what can you think of is the kind of conversation that's going on? Do you think there's a difference between the communication that's going on at the end of chapter 2? I would say yes. I look back to the end of chapter 1, and this is what I see. Not a whole lot of communication, but even in just facial expressions and even verbal, life is tough, isn't it, at the end of chapter 1? Heads are down. There doesn't seem to be hope. There's words that are going up to God like, God, what are you doing? Now at the end of chapter 2, what's the communication look like now? Oh, now there is hope. Now there is blessing. Now there's something to talk about. Folks, I want to tell you, that's the key to our communication and fellowship with other people. You know what? I have every reason to believe that across America, there's a lot of churches and that the communication, the fellowship amongst the people is kind of like this. Our world's pretty tough out there. It's pretty rotten. Did you hear what happened in the news yesterday? We have no hope and there is no help. You know what? I just wish the Lord would return. Now, I wish the Lord would return as well. But I'll tell you what, that's not the kind of communication that ought to be taking place amongst our people right here at Faith Bible Church. And I want you to see what ought to be the communication. Is it a true fact that our world is turning upside down and getting bad? Yes, it is. But I'll tell you a true fact as well. God is good and God is on the throne and he's doing good work in your life. That ought to be the topic. All right, so we get here and we understand humanly why there was such a good topic. I want you to see some principles though here in the next few moments that Ruth and Naomi both apply with each other in this fellowship. Okay, picture them. Picture them coming in, all right? We're in verse 18. And she took it up. I want you to really picture this, just like there was a play going on here. I'm going to try to be a few characters here. So Ruth is over in her field. She was going out, and let's say that Boaz's field was over here. It says, and she took it up. So she, at the end of the day, it's nighttime, and she gets everything together. And however she was able to carry it, she took it up, right? Do you have that pictured? And however she, did she have a cart? Did one of the servants take it for her? I don't know, but she took it up. And she's bringing it back. She comes into the city, and she gets at the door, and she comes in, and there's Naomi, okay? And you can picture Naomi. Now, again, what kind of face is Naomi going to have as Ruth opens the door, and there she's got this 30 pounds? And no doubt, that was a load to carry for Ruth, if Ruth had to carry it. It says she took it up. Now, again, we take that literally, but I don't think that it would be stretching to say as she took it up that she could have had somebody else helping her, certainly. 30 pounds of barley, a big load. So she brings it, but whatever the case, when she gets there, she opens up the door, and there's Naomi. And here we have in verse 18, and she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her, and that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother, start of verse 19, I just want you to see this, the first part. And her mother-in-law said unto her, and what's the expression in her words? She says, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? What's her expression? She's like, she sees it and she's like, where did that come from? You see, what she's saying is that's not normal. Now, okay, so we're looking at Naomi's response, but I want you to look at Ruth and what she's doing. It says that she gathers up, she picks it up, and she comes in. Now, I don't know the attitude in which Ruth had, and we would be reading in the scriptures to say that she did certain things, but I want to tell you something. It's interesting when she opens the door and she goes in there and she sets that there on the table or on the floor. It's almost as if, you know, she's there and she's You know, you would think from Naomi's response, there would be the, look at this. You see that? Look at this. And what's the response? That's a miracle, right? Could that really happen? There's no way. And now, folks, I want to tell you something. If Ruth would have went to any other field, it wouldn't have happened. But you see, God was watching and was providing way beforehand to prepare exactly what they needed. But that's tonight. So here she comes, and it's like, look at this. Look at this. Now, we know Naomi's response was what? Where did you work? Where did you get this? So that's the attitude of what's going on right now. Look at this. Where did you get that? Now let me ask you a question. It's a tough question. Is God good? It's not very tough, is it? Let me ask it again, because it sounded like it was a tough question. Is God good? Yes. What does God load us with? According to the scriptures, He loads us daily with what? Benefits, right? He gives us so much. He gives us so much blessing. We don't have an idea of how much we have to be thankful for here in America. There's so many people that don't live like we do. Even the poorest person here this morning has loads more. And I don't mean to make light of your situation if you're that one. But I say this, we have loads more than what a lot of people have. You know what? The statistics tell us that we are, that in our whole, you know, as a whole right here, we live on way high, the high end of the spectrum with blessings that people have in the world. We do. The poor people of this world have nothing. We are not in that level. And so again, we have so much, and we go through our lives and we see this situation here, and Naomi is like, you know, Ruth is like, look at this. Naomi's like, where did you get that? What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. How could you ever come up with something like this? Now, I want to stop the conversation. I want to freeze the frame right there, okay, where Ruth is like this and Naomi is like, you know, like that. Okay, so freeze it right there. Because it's very interesting that this conversation that Naomi and Ruth have right now has changed dramatically, drastically, from the end of chapter 1. Now, it goes like this to that. They're excited. Where has this come from? How good of a thing? And let's jump ahead. What kind of a conversation goes through the end of this chapter? I'll tell you what. It starts off with Naomi. Where did you get this? Ruth says, here's where I got it. Naomi said, praise the Lord, look what happened. Ruth said, and there's more. That's the story in a nutshell, really quickly. That was kind of like, you know, pressing the fast forward button really quick through these verses. Okay? Again, there's conversation by both of them. Again, Ruth is like, look what I have. Naomi's like, where did you get it? You know, and Ruth says, here's where I got it. Naomi says, wow, this is amazing. And Ruth, you know, finishes it by saying, and look what else. Now, I would tell you that that's a good conversation. That's good fellowship and communication that's going on right there. That has drastically changed. God is now acknowledged. In fact, God is lifted up in this. Whereas at the end of chapter 1, look what God, I have come back empty. And now Naomi is realizing what? Look at how full we are. Folks, I want to tell you the start of this conversation ought to be the start of our conversation right here at church. You know, when we come to church, our attitude is, it shouldn't be like, I had a rough week this week. You know what? The fact is how many of us have rough weeks? A lot of us, okay? But you know what? In all the rough weeks, God has been so good to us. And we're learning that Sunday nights. Now, if you've not been learning it on Sunday night, then you might have a hard time thinking, oh, how is he being good? But was God being good to Naomi and Ruth throughout? Those of you who have been coming on Sunday nights, has God been really good to Ruth and Naomi? Oh, he has, and he's doing a good work. But it's just now that they're starting to realize it. Before, they kind of were hanging their heads, at least Naomi was. And now they're starting to see that God is doing something here. But folks, the attitude that we ought to have when we show up and we fellowship to other people is, look at this. Look at this. Look what God has done. Now, I asked you a question when you got to church here this morning. I just said, what kind of communication do you have when you get here? You know, some people talk about their work. Some people talk about their activities and their sports. Some people talk about their health. And we all have these things. Can I challenge you with this? That God wants us to talk about, look at this. Look at this. I've been telling you and challenge you especially on when we have testimonies or on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings, even in Sunday school, I've been trying to encourage you through Psalm 28:7. This is a different verse, but this is a verse that I read this week. Turn there really quickly, Psalm 28:7. This is just a small, this is one little verse. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord, that's Jehovah, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. It sounds like a person that was going through a difficult time, doesn't it? Yes, there were some struggles there, but now they acknowledge, wait a second, my weakness is fulfilled in the Lord's strength. He says, the Lord is my strength. And it sounds like this person probably was going through some struggles. And he said, the Lord's my shield or my protection. He says, my heart trusted in Him and I'm helped. The Lord pulled through. Therefore, and what's his conclusion? The psalmist says what? Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise Him. Folks, I want to tell you something. That is called communication. It's communicating something that God has done. You know what it really is in our story in Ruth? It's this. Look at this. Look at this. Folks, I want to tell you something. How many of you, and you don't need to raise your hand, how many of you got to church this morning and the first words of communication or your expressions were, let me tell you something, God was good to me this week. God was good to me this week. Some of you know people that the first thing you hear out of their mouth is, oh, life is rough. And that's our natural tendency. But I want to tell you something. Godly communication is, look at this. You see, that's Ruth's first thing. Look at this. Look at what I have here. Naomi's response is going to follow in the same pattern. But look at this. I want to ask you a question. Does your communication with people prompt into wanting to compel? Where did you get that from? Where did you go? How? Where? What is going on? You know, I talk to people, and I every once in a while I talk to somebody, and they share a story with me, and I say, "Wow, how did that happen? That's amazing. That's amazing." Two guys that were here, two interns that were here this last week. They were here on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, and then left on Wednesday, went back to Wisconsin. And we were in a good conversation about God's will and how we should pray and things that are happening. And one of them was sharing that he has a couple family members that went on a trip to Israel, and they're actually there right now, coming back in the next 2 days. Anyway, they're on this trip to Israel, and they were there. And no, excuse me, that was the wrong story. There was another trip that was to Papua New Guinea, and they went on a missions trip there. And there was just a few guys there, and one of them lost his cell phone. He was there, he was doing some things, he lost his cell phone, and he went on, and then he went back, and sure enough, the cell phone was gone. There's no way that they were going to be able to track it. They tried to do all the, you know, technological things and try to track the phone and do whatever, but it said, you know, we're in a new place. How in the world is there ever going to be a way to track this phone down and find it? And they were doing some things. The fact of the matter is it's pretty much impossible to find that phone. But nevertheless, they decided to pray about that phone. They just decided to really pray, God, would you please allow this phone to come back? They prayed and prayed and prayed. And they were really, truly convinced they were going to find this phone. I'm listening to the story. I'm like, yeah, right. They're never going to find that phone. But the fact of the matter is they were going through, and I don't know if it was days or whatever like that, but somebody was out. They were out passing out Bibles, and they were doing some ministry, and they got to talking to somebody, and an individual got saved. I might get the story a little bit wrong, but somebody got saved. They were talking to them. Somebody came in and was somehow the loss of the phone got on some, I don't know if it was local news or whatever. And again, I lose a lot of the story, but through a contact person, through ministry or whatever, this individual said, I just was talking to this guy that had a phone that looks just like that. And they made up a plan of how they were going to go back. The guy actually that was doing the ministry went back, and right or wrong, he went back to him. And he kind of gave him something. Do you realize that that phone right there that you have was taken from a person that was handing out Bibles in ministry? So it's kind of like a sad story, you know, like this person you just stole from a missionary. Well, it worked because the guy's like, I can't believe that I did this. Bottom line is they found this phone. The guy who stole it himself came back and handed it back and said, I'm sorry. I want to tell you something, folks. That is a miracle. That's a miracle of the Lord. God did an amazing work. And you know what? God did an amazing work. Now, they're telling me this story, you know, secondhand. They just had heard it that morning. They're telling me this story. And you know, as I sat there, it was just as if those two guys from somebody else said, look at this. And you know what it did to me? Where did that come from? I want that. Does that make sense? I want to tell you something. The current communication that comes out of our mouths ought to be something that other people are wanting that. I want that. God was that good to you this week? And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what kind of week you can have. God is always good. And when we enter into his temple, when we come to his courts, we ought to come with it with singing and praise because God is good. Amen? He is good. And it's time that we stop coming into God's house like this. It's time we start coming in, even if we had a difficult week, and say, you know what? It was a tough week, but God was so good. Let me show you. Look at this. And we're sitting here today, and God has worked so many things out in our lives. Folks, it's time we pick up our heads and praise the Lord for what he's doing. God is good. Even in 2019, when things are tough, God is good. God is good. And we ought to enter with acknowledgement of good with our people, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's important because the result of it is a dead church that is hanging their heads and saying, woe is us. It's useless. There's no way. You know what? When the world comes in here, this is a side note. Listen to this. If we're ministering to the truth to the lost and dying world, when people come from the outside into our church and they come in here, they ought to come in here and say, they're serving a living God that's good. I wonder what visitors come into this church and say. Well, what a group of sad people. What a group of down people that are just struggling like everybody else. I want to tell you, that's the world. Everybody's struggling, right? And that's why the world is doing what they're doing. This ought to be a haven. This ought to be a place that people walk in there and say, where has this been all of my life? When those people entered yesterday into these buildings, I'm preaching to myself as well, folks. When they come in yesterday, you have to say, what is going on at this place? Where has it been? These people have a smile. These people are excited. These people aren't drowning in the world's you know, waste. No, they're excited. They're going around telling about what God has done. Now, I want to tell you something. Whether you believe it or not, God was working in your life, every one of you this week, and did some great things. He was. You're alive. You're breathing. You're here. Praise the Lord. You know what? When you enter into this place, this ought to be the message. Look at this. Look at this. All right, let's move on. So we have Naomi's response. Look at this. Look at God's goodness. Let's praise him for what he is doing. Encouragement. Encouragement. Where did this come from? And folks, by the way, that's edification. The word is edification. It's encouraging people. It's strengthening people. It's lifting people up. You, edification is all over the scriptures. Look it up yourself. Just look at Ephesians chapter 4 and you'll see there. Edification. Our job is to edify one another, not to tear them down. I come in with a dreary face and I tell you what, I'm just going to pull other people down in my mud. No, we ought to be an encouragement to other people, but let's move on. So striving together through edification. Number two, identifying human instruments. Now, where does this go? And what's Naomi's response? And this is natural, by the way. Blessed be he. This is verse 19. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Who's she talking about? And she's going to talk about somebody else in the next verse. Who is she talking about at this point? Boaz. This is Boaz. Blessed be Boaz. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her, that's Ruth, showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought or worked and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. So Her question was, where did you go? Who did you work with? And whoever it is, blessed be he. So she brings this, she's identifying a human instrument that God uses. All right, so Naomi finds out it's Boaz. And she says, blessed be he. It's on this level right now. The next verse is going to go up. But right now she says, praise the Lord for that guy. Boy, it's a blessing that he was there and he's a kinsman. And she brings blessing to this individual. All right, so we show up at church like this. Get a load of this. Look at this. The second thing we ought to do is we need to be very careful with recognizing people or circumstances in which God used. Look at what happened. This individual, this person, look at what they have done. I'll tell you what. Think about Paul. How did Paul... Paul is very typical. He started his letters a certain way. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How does Paul end most of his epistles? Really quickly, we're running out of time, but really quickly turn to Romans 16. How did Paul end Romans? I'm not even going to turn there myself. Just look at the whole chapter. Look at Romans chapter 16, and when it gets into this concluding part, what is it? Somebody tell me, how does he conclude it? Okay, but don't even just look at the last verse. Look at the whole thing. What do you see throughout Romans 16? What's that? Okay, he's greetings. What, is there a lot of names? Lots of names? And what's he saying that's different about all these names? What's he doing? He's saluting them. He's praising them. He's thanking them. He's blessing them. You know what he's doing? Paul ends his letter by saying, you know what? I'm so thankful for this person. And oh, that lady over here, she was such a blessing and she did this. You know, praise the Lord for her. And he's going down the list. He's just naming all kinds of people that were a blessing. Look at what, they have done this and they have done this. He doesn't want to miss anybody. You know, and she was this and he was that. Recognizing Paul's blessing. You know what? Paul knows it's God doing the work, but he brings it to a human level. And he says, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for doing what you do. You know, brothers and sisters, we ought to show up to church like this. Look at what God has done and look at who helped me. You know, we ought to be thanking each other and praising each other for all the things that our body is doing together. I'm not going to say who it is, and the person that received it might remember it. But somebody last week at church, or Wednesday night at church, I took knowledge of this, found somebody else in the church that had been does something all the time, and they called that person and just said, so-and-so, and they called to their attention and said, I just want to thank you for continually doing this. That was just a person. I didn't tell them to do it. They just did it. It made an impact. I said, that's exactly what we ought to be doing to everybody that's here. You are such a blessing to me. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for showing up yesterday and helping with this. And you cleaned that up, or you took care of this. And you know what? That ought to be part of our conversation. The first part is get a load of this. Look what God's done. The second part is we ought to be saying, you know what? I just thank you so much for what you do and how you do this. And thank you for volunteering for that. And you do such a good job at this. What a blessing to that. You know, that's exactly what we ought to be doing. And here, Naomi, you know what? Naomi, her attitude was not right in the beginning. Her attitude was, look at what has happened. You know what? But listen to this. Now it's changed. And now she's like, bless, look at what that guy's doing. Look at what she's doing. She's being thankful. You know, we ought to have practical human praise. And praise is a good thing. Paul did it. Praise and blessing upon all those that are being used. I want you to see thirdly, though. So first of all, get a load of this. Look at this. Seeing what, identifying what God has done. Second of all, identifying human instruments. Thirdly, recognition of the true source. And of course, that's going to bring it to God. Who was it really that was using Boaz? Of course, it was God. It was Jehovah that was doing it. And she comes to that in verse 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law. Now notice the word changes. She didn't say just blessed. She says, blessed be he of the Lord. Now, when you look at that, when I initially looked at that, it still sounds like she's blessing Boaz. But when you look at the Hebrew that's there, be he of the Lord, it's all one. And you know what that is? It's Jehovah. It's God. What she's saying is, she might have called attention to Boaz a little bit, but what she's saying is God was in him. God was using it. God's really the one to be used. Now, she did acknowledge Boaz, but she's acknowledging God. So she recognizes, she said, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not, this is different conversation that was in chapter 1. Chapter 1, God has left me with nothing. Chapter 2, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. That's amazing. Amazing change in communication. Communication is important. Naomi communicated some rough things in the beginning, chapter 1. Now Naomi's communicating some very good things. Look at what God has done. She recognizes that God had not stopped his kindness to either of them and also to their dead husbands. Now, one of the key words in the book of Ruth is this word kindness. Kind, kindness. You go back to chapter 1 and verse, I think it's verse 8 that is used there. And Naomi tells Ruth that she had been kind in being with her, and now she's recognizing that God had been kind. This word is the Hebrew word hesed, which means loyal and loving kindness that never fails. It's faithfulness. It's grace that never ends. God has never left us. You know what? She's just discovered some truth. You know what she says? God never did leave me. God has not left us. God has not left us. Folks, where does every good and perfect gift come from? According to James chapter 1 and verse 17, cometh from God, the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Folks, we've got to stop just giving man praise, although we ought to, but remember that ultimately is God that did it. You see, if we just focus on the human level, we become very humanistic in all that we do. But we've got to praise man, but we also remember that it is God that is doing it. We be cut short if we just praise man. We become very humanistic. Remember that it's God working it. You know what? So-and-so, you get a load of this. So-and-so showed up to my house yesterday and they did this and they did all this work. I can't believe that they did that. Praise the Lord for that individual. God, thank you. Because I'll tell you what, if it ends right there, we end in a very bad spot. God, thank you that you did it. We've got to go back and realize, wait a second, God, you're doing this. And we see, God, wait a second, God, you do love me. God, you do care for me, and you're thankful. You have never failed me. I'm giving you what we ought to be talking about here in this building. These are the kind of things that we ought to be talking about. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about the weather, or your pains, and your joints, and all that stuff. But I tell you what, make sure that you're saying, "Get a load of this. God was good to me this week." That ought to be on all of our tongues. Second of all, praise the Lord for that person, that person. I'm just so thankful for them. But ultimately, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise God. He is the one that is doing it. And so Naomi acknowledges God's kindness right there in front of Ruth. So that's another opportunity that we have when we get to church. We get to sing praises to God right in front of other brothers and sisters. You know what? I think that we're doing God an injustice and in service when we sit there and sing, "Praise God from whom all." I'll tell you what, you get to live this message out when you come in here and you sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Not just as a show, but because you mean it. God has been so good to me, and I want everybody around me to know of God's goodness. Of God's goodness. God has been good. Some of those of you who went out to Roger, you'll remember this. Some of my kids will remember this. I wish so bad. We're out of time. I could never do it justice. Some of you have listened to Dr. Gibbs. That he's the founder and president or whatever he's called of Christian Law Association. Dr. David Gibbs. He tells some amazing stories that I could never, ever, ever, ever parallel. He tells a story one time about this lady. He was in a church. Dr. Gibbs, he's a big old boy, white boy. And I say that because he went to a church. I think it was a pretty much all black church there. And he was worshiping. There was this lady that was sitting next to him. And she just, you know, when they sang, she just really sang with everything that she had. And I'm not going to tell the funny parts because I won't make them funny, okay? If those of you have heard it, you can laugh inside because you know it's funny. But anyways, the story goes that this lady had something about her, you know, and he's just like, what in the world, you know? And she's just going back and forth with him. She has no clue about this lady. But she's just like, what goes inside, this is Dr. Gibbs, the president of Christian Law Association, as he sits there. He's preaching, by the way. He's going to be preaching in the message, the service. He's just, it till the end of the song service and whatever, his attitude towards this lady is, I wish I had what this lady had. Something that she has. Later, the pastor of the church explains to Dr. Gibbs, he said, did you know that this lady lost her husband in an accident and her two boys this last whatever? Did you know that she has stage whatever, you know, cancer, whatever? Did you know that she has this? Did you know? He went on and on about all the stuff that she didn't have. You know what? And the story is like, what? You see, it doesn't matter our circumstances. It matters our attitude. And when we show up, everybody else ought to say, what in the world? Where did they go? And the answer is look at what God has done through these people and look at what God is doing himself. And you know what? Spread. Because Naomi praised the Lord, and right after that, Ruth jumps right back in and said, and not only that, but look at what else he told me. You see, when you have that kind of an attitude, other people, it's contagious. We're all about not being contagious to catch other people's colds. But I tell you what, we ought to all be about being contagious so that we catch other people's zeal and excitement for the Lord. We ought to. There ought to be something different when people show up here that say, I don't know where they've been gleaning, but that's what I want. I ask you the question, what is your communication when you show up to Faith Bible Church? Are we a church that everybody's like, I just hope the Lord returns one of these days before it's too late? Or do people come in and say, wow, these people are occupying until he comes. Father, help us. Help us to have this sort of communication like Naomi and Ruth have at the end of chapter 2. Oh God, help us. Help us not to be chapter 1ers, but chapter 2ers. Lord, help us to change our attitude. Help us to see that you have been so good to us. Lord, and when we show up to church, Lord, I pray that everybody would say, wow, God was good to them this week. I want what they have. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. God, we need you for this. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 366, have thine own way. Would you let the Lord have his way with this? Would you